Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Bible Study. I hope this is a blessing to you, and we appreciate your participation with us through this media. Now, let's get to the sermon.
What key are you going to sing in, Brett?
Well, Isaiah, key of I. Isaiah 49, I just wanted to share a little scripture and some thoughts from it. And then I do have a special too. But Isaiah 49, listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me like a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, you're my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I've labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And just a couple things that stood out to me in this, and I'll try to be brief. And that is that, I don't know if you picked up on who the servant is in this, but when you read about him being formed in his mother's womb, it's Jesus. Amen. It's the Son of God. He came. And it is, Isaiah is full of these messages about the servant of the Lord. And in this one, he says something kind of peculiar in verse 4. But I think it gives us a reminder that he was tempted in like manner as we are, yet without sin. And that temptation in verse 4 is that I have labored in vain and I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. You ever thought that you just work, and what do you get out of it? Nothing. And I think he heard that voice, and I think he's expressing that he felt that. And you wonder, well, why would he? I mean, he would. Well, let's back up and think, put this in context. First 30 years, he was a carpenter. He wasn't the Messiah, yet he was the carpenter, laboring in what would seem obscurity. And yet he was accomplishing a really big work that we don't always value. He was accomplishing our righteousness. So he lived as we're supposed to live. And we're supposed to live as hardworking people serving the Lord in whatever we do. Amen. And so he did that for us. But then you look at when he did have disciples and teaching, and not, well, his teaching really kind of fell on deaf ears a lot, didn't it, Brother Kenneth? Because he taught us about that in Sunday school this morning, that the parables, well, only a few people really wanted to know what they meant. And you look at the 12, well, one of them was a rascal, the son of perdition. And so, yeah, I think he probably faced that temptation of wondering, is my labor going to amount to anything? But tempted like we are, but without sin, he reminded himself. And I think this is what amazes me, is that God, the Father, prepared his Son for those temptations hundreds of years before he came by putting these words in the Word of God. Amen. So that he would know not only what the will of the Father was and to continue doing it, but he would know the Word of God tells him, yet my just reward is with the Lord, and my work or my recompense is with my God. He could trust God that if he's doing the Father's will, then he's doing the right thing. He's really doing what he was made to do, as it says here. And that, as the Apostle Paul would echo later on, that our labor is not in vain. But you know, what's amazing to me is that he also told him, don't worry, your work isn't just local either. You don't know the impact of the rest of your work. So the Father again was giving him more to know, because that's where verse 6 kind of stood out to me, is that, you know, The father says to the son, it's too small of a thing that you should be my servant just to raise up Jacob, just to bring the Israelites back to me. You know, that's too little. That's not enough work. You are going to accomplish a lot more than that. Now, Jesus only once in his recorded history left Israel. Only once. He just stayed right there in that little country in the ancient Near East. But he is told here, you're going to be a light to the Gentiles. You should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Glory. And you know, that means you and me. Whosoever will. And that's the really cool part is so, you know, when he commissioned the disciples, go make disciples of all nations, preach the gospel to every creature, whosoever will. He was starting something that was going to keep going so that a continent away that they didn't even know existed, we're going to be living here and we're going to be hearing the gospel.
Praise God, praise
glory. And that leads me to kind of set up my little song here. We don't always know the impact we're going to have.
No, we don't.
But we're supposed to trust those words. That if we're doing what the Lord has called us to do, He will work. And there's a song in our hymnal, if you want to look at it, it's page 51. But it dates back to the Great Awakening. And I don't know if you know about the Great Awakening, but it was a time of revival that started in England and eventually spread to the other parts of Britain and even to America. And you've heard of some of these folks, you know, Whitfield and Wesley and these guys. But there were a lot of them preaching. And there was a guy, I didn't know this, Brother Gene, but his name was Harris. I don't remember his first name. It wasn't Brad. But he was preaching, and one of the folks that was saved in his preaching was a guy by the name of William Williams. I don't know what his parents were thinking, but that seems unfortunate. William Williams was a physician just fresh out of school, heard the gospel, decided to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he said, you know, there's more important things to be done. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Mm-hmm. And our health is one of those temporary things, but eternity we can't lose.
Amen.
Unless we choose to. And that is if we refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. And so he went preaching the gospel instead of being a physician. That was what the Lord put on his heart. And he preached. It is calculated that he walked 95,000 miles within the island of Britain preaching the gospel to crowds up to 10,000 and more. I don't know how they did that without microphones or trains or any of that stuff. And so there is no telling how many he preached to and impacted people who were saved. But that was a part of that time period. But he's better known for writing songs, including this one here. And so I'm just going to sing it. And if you want to sing along, you can. If you play with me, I have to warn you, we may train wreck. I just don't know. Because like David said to Saul, these are things I have not yet tested. I sing it a cappella at home, and I heard this in an unusual spot, and so it just stuck with me. Page 51. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee. Father, just thankful. Thankful that you are good to guide us. Thankful, Lord, that you have prepared the way for us in eternity past. These works, that we should walk in them, Lord. That you have saved us for such a time as this and for such a place as this. And Lord, we don't know what the ramifications are of our obedience, Lord. But you call us to obey you and trust you and leave the consequences to you. And so, Lord, help us to do that. And I thank you, Lord, for putting me in such a place as this, in such a time as this, to be at Prairie Oaks and to be a part of this church, Lord. And I'm thankful. And I just pray, Lord, that we just continue to honor and glorify you through this service, through this week, in all that we say and in all that we do, Lord, that we would be a part of revival. As you worked before our country was even founded, Lord, in the Great Awakening, that we would see you work a mighty work again. We thank you, Lord. Forgive us of the ways we fail you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the true King and the hero of the story, we pray. Amen.